Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Live from New York, the show that's wishing you a very happy Martin Luther King Day. It's First Things First today. You are what you eat. Cowboys, tomato can. Also, bonus pun, will Jerry can Mike McCarthy?
Oh, well.
Meanwhile, new superstar alert. C.J. Stroud lights up the Browns. How dangerous is Texas's best team? And finally, another shout at the Cowboys. And finally, oh, I told you.
Oh, you have been on it.
I told you.
You wouldn't let anybody kick you off the Chiefs bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let him do this.
Not moving like this.
I'm just saying.
Try to get me off. I'm on the Chiefs like icicles on a mustache. Are the Chiefs the scariest team in the playoffs alongside Chris Broussard? I'm Kevin Wildes. Nick, were you happy about our Chiefs?
Listen, it's the January football. It's playoff football.
Let's go.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying.
Here, guys. You.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know what I was most happy for this weekend?
Ooh, bro.
Our partner, Chris Broussard, who is on a heater the likes of which we haven't seen in sports media.
Well,
I mean, look at him. He's
literally,
rushing.
Before the show, he said, let me cook.
He did say that.
We start with a debacle in Dallas. Nick's Super Bowl pick crushed. Oh. Tomatoes, the first number two seed to lose since the elimination of the second bye. Green Bay puts up 48 points. Dak throws two interceptions. Here he is after the game.
Yeah, we got beat. There's no other which way around it, no way to sugarcoat it. Obviously, I didn't play well, and shock. I'm not a guy that lives in the past, and so where my feet are, and at this moment, yeah, I mean, I sucked tonight. No, that was it.
Okay. Professor Broussard, what grade are you giving the Cowboys?
Well, the grade is obvious.
F!
Okay. Where's the F?
Okay. Oh,
but you know what? As I thought about this, we tried to get the biggest F we could get.
Okay. Is this bigger than the last?
My goodness.
This is bigger.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Bigger. As I thought about this.
My notes are
I sat there and I said, you know what? This isn't good enough. Or in this case, bad enough.
Bad enough.
Yeah.
This does not fully encapsulate how horrific that was yesterday, mm-hmm. Nick, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I had to create my own grade.
Wow.
I had to create something worse than an F.
What's that?
An F minus. Okay,
that's
all right. This is an F minus by the Cowboys.
We got it. Yeah. Well,
all right.
Wild, you help him out here.
Because.
I got you. Go ahead. You worry about your take.
An F is.
Rehearse this.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You got it.
Not bad enough.
Keep cooking.
Is this how we're doing it?
Yeah. Yeah.
An F minus is not just getting beaten by a lesser team. Mm-hmm. An F minus is not just taking somebody lightly and losing the game.
Mm-hmm.
An F minus is reserved for a whole nother class of failure.
Yeah.
And that is when you choke. All right? The Cowboys yesterday of Dak Prescott, of Mike McCarthy, of Deron Bland, of Micah Parsons, of CeeDee Lamb, choked. This wasn't just a loss.
Mm-mm.
The moment was too big.
That's correct.
The pressure was too much. How else do you explain a defensive backfield that spent most of the season in the top five, top six-ish,
yeah,
letting guys run wide open like this? I mean, this is inexplicable. Look at that. There is not a cow mean?
Brew, it's the most open any player has been in any game all year, literally.
Is
by next-gen stats. 17.2 yards between him and the closest defender.
And Dobbs as well.
Yeah.
It happened time and time again. The only explanation? How else do you explain a team that had won 16 straight games at home?
Yeah.
And won by, they outscored their opponents by 172 points this season in Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet you are down 48-16 with a few minutes left to a team that was 9-8 and the youngest in nearly 50 years to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm great.
How else do you explain a quarterback who had an MVP caliber season, who threw only 9 interceptions in 17 games, throwing 2 picks, one of them a pick 6, in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
How else do you explain a defensive front that led the league in pressures the entire season, only getting 4 pressures and no sacks against a 25-year-old quarterback making his first playoff start?
Yeah, good job.
That's it.
That's what I thought.
And I could go on for the rest of the show, but I won't.
Okay.
We can't do that. All right, but yesterday what we saw was the greatest example of one of my greatest rants.
Oh.
The tomato can.
Yeah, well, that it is.
All right?
Yeah.
And how ironic and fitting that a team that spent all season bashing and bruising and muscling up against tomato cans turned out to be the greatest tomato can.
Oh, no.
Of
no,
them
the Cowboys
all.
Are a tomato can?
What? Yes.
Oh, my
that, the Dallas Cowboys are a playoff tomato can.
Oh, that's the worst.
2016, we're the number one seed. Doesn't matter.
No.
2021, we're the number 3 seed. Doesn't matter.
Don't fall.
2023, we're the number 2 seed. Does not matter because the Cowboys are playoff tomato cans.
Yeah. Just,
period.
Right. So excellent job.
I mean, well done.
Several of your greatest hits in there.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. Wild.
Yes.
If I may, just quickly for me.
Oh, really quick. Do you want to address that was Nick's Super Bowl pick?
No, I got it. I'll take care of that, I promise. That's exactly what I was about to do.
Yeah,
No, if I may.
I don't care if the Eagles get beat by 100.
Okay. Well,
I'm not here a thing.
If I may, classic category 3 by me.
Oh, man.
Irrevocably, unequivocally wrong. And what makes it worse is it is Brew's, maybe his first ever, classic 1.
Classic.
Instantly first correct. Ever. Everything Brew said all year. Let me give you your props. Everything Brew said all year was correct. Getting fat and happy on tomato cans. Check. Dak, even if he put up, Brew said before the season, even if Dak Prescott were to win league MVP, he would not necessarily believe he's an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an insane statement. And then we saw a circumstance where Dak had, at the very least, an MVP caliber season, one that as recently as Friday of last week I was arguing should have him in a coin flip for MVP with Lamar, maybe a weighted coin in Lamar's favor, but then proven exactly right by how he did in the playoffs. All the McCarthy stuff, too much talk, all of it was right. So now, if I may just quickly go through the football stuff that happened. I don't know who should be more embarrassed when it comes to the Cowboys, but I'm going to start on the defense.
Yeah.
Micah and Dan Quinn and the defense as a whole, what the hell was that? I don't know. Maybe Dan Quinn was distracted by the Seattle job coming open. I'm not being sarcastic about that.
No, you spent some time.
Yeah, and I know that he's got 4 interviews lined up. We found out about today. So maybe that's human nature, but that's what they did yesterday and what they allowed Matt LaFleur to do to them was humiliating. And Micah getting just washed out of that football game was humiliating for a guy who talks like and usually plays like one of the best players at his position of his generation. Then there's Dak, who now, and this is a brutal spot, because this is where now his great regular season works against him, and it should.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dak is now a known regular season only quarterback.
Mm.
Can we show you the quarterbacks who have the active quarterbacks, most regular season wins with less than 3 playoff wins? What do all those guys have in common? You don't trust them come the postseason. No, yeah, right, and I know Dalton, that. It seems
Andy
unfair,
Dalton,
but
I don't know.
No, but Andy Dalton, when he was winning 10 games every year in Cincinnati, that's what we thought. When Ryan Tannehill had the one seed, that's what we thought. Kirk Cousins, when they won 13 games last year, that's what we thought. And the part that Brew said, but I want to emphasize, Dak was frightened. Dak, you saw his eyes the moment the game was 7-0. You could feel it. And I'm not trying to be the body language doctor, but you don't have to be. And then he had 4 separate opportunities before the game got away from him to help the Cowboys either stay close or be right there. Down 7-0. All of a sudden, down 7-0. They punch us in the mouth. The next drive you punt, the next drive he throws what could have been his first pick 6,
mm-hmm. right.
was just a pick.
Right.
Down 14-0. Okay, this is getting tough. You're in field goal range. You have a 3rd and 5. All you have to do is not take a sack. He creates a sack, and then McCarthy doesn't let Aubrey kick the field goal. Down 20-0. I tweet, oddly not dead. Go score, you get the ball at halftime. Yep. 20-14, next time Green Bay touches the ball, and all of a sudden the pressure's on them.
They were dead.
2-minute warning, the ball's at the 40. And he throws one of the worst pick sixes of the year and an underrated mistake. When the game felt over, but down 27-0 right before the half, he does the one thing you can't do. He threw it short of the end zone and the half would have ended, but they got bailed out because of the penalty. That was 4 egregious mistakes. And then, of course, there's McCarthy, who I know we'll get to. But listen, everything Bruce said all year was right. And when I say I hate saying that, I want you guys to know I'm having like an allergic internal reaction right
now. Okay, man.
That's very
true. It's okay.
It is. And for Dak, I think this hurts the most because he now is in a spot where he literally can have an MVP level year and people will rightfully doubt him moving forward, especially because he did look like the moment was too big for him, and it was the first round of the playoffs against a 7 seed.
Uh-huh. And he's a veteran. It's not like he's in his 3rd year where, okay, you can forgive him.
Correct.
No.
Totally agree.
Jerry Jones talked all year about how this team was Super Bowl ready, and now they're all headed for vacation, and maybe some people won't be coming back. Here's Mike McCarthy and Jerry.
Do you think this could lead to a coaching change?
I think the biggest thing is, we're disappointed. I got a whole team in the locker rooms. That's hurting, and I haven't thought past the outcome of this game.
I won't get into any of the addressing of any aspects of any part of it, from the coaching to the players to what's around the corner.
Okay, Bruce, should McCarthy be fired?
I think yes. All right. I mean, he was undressed yesterday by the guy who replaced him in Green Bay. They weren't ready offensively. They weren't ready defensively. I mean, they were a mess against, again, the youngest team in the playoffs since 1974. All right. And now, look, he's obviously had the 3 great regular seasons, but they are 1-3 under him in the playoffs. 2 of those losses are at home.
In the first round.
Here's the quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's
a winner, but still. All right. A rookie Brock Purdy who was making his 7th start. That's not even Brock Purdy now.
Yeah.
That is your 7th start. And then yesterday, Jordan Love.
Or not a rookie, but a first-year starter.
But first-year starter. First playoff game ever. Yeah. And if you're S-Bob, Super Bowl or bust, which we know they are, and this year, more than anything, they should have been. Things were falling in line. Now, they still would have had to get by San Francisco. But everything else was falling in line from them. And you are at home, and you get everything went opposite the way it did regular season. They didn't score. I don't care about the 32 points. We know they didn't score when they needed to.
48-16.
And you're averaging almost 40 at home during the regular season. So, there's one name. I don't know who it would be other than this guy, but if Jerry Jones is serious about winning the Super Bowl, then he should have been on the phone last night with Bill Belichick, working out what do you need from us. I'm serious. Belichick will fix the defense, which is probably their biggest problem. I mean, Dak, obviously you got questions, but they ran all over that defense.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah. Defense is the biggest problem. Right now, my biggest concern is the quarterback play come the playoffs. That would be my biggest concern.
I mean, he was bad. I can't defend that.
Because the defense over the –
they get run on, though.
They do get run on, but I thought that was more of a coaching – I thought that was Matt LaFleur saying, I know what you're going to do, Dan Quinn, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And Dan Quinn, listen, like I said, he was in the head coaching, you know, circles as far as could he – if McCarthy gets fired, could he get the job, whatever it is. Obviously Mike McCarthy should be fired. That is not too harsh. That is not too reactionary. That is the standard right now. I want to show this 12-win graphic again because we expanded it. So I know that's a lot of information, so I'll distill it for you. That's all the teams that have had at least three straight 12-win seasons.
Yeah.
And what you'll see is all of them made at least one, if not multiple, conference championship games at the very least. And all of them made a Super Bowl, or if they didn't, they had already won a Super Bowl with that quarterback there. So the Packers, the Saints, and the Niners during that run didn't go to a Super Bowl, but they had won one previously. I did the math here. 46 times, you add all those up together aside from the Cowboys, you have 32 conference championship game appearances, 18 Super Bowl appearances, 11 Super Bowl wins. The Cowboys are zeros across the board.
Yeah.
So here's to me the more complicated part of it, Wilds. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to throw at you. I agree with Brew. I'd try to go hire Bill Belichick. If I can't get Bill Belichick, and I'm at going Vrabel or Jim Harbaugh or a younger Eric Bieniemy, a younger coach, whatever it is, the next conversation I'm having is, okay, if it's Belichick, we are trying to win right now in a 3-year window.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If it's not Belichick, the next conversation I'm having is, would we rather have Dak Prescott at $60 million a year or call up a team like New England and see if they'll give us the third pick of the draft for him?
I mean, Mac Jones.
Now, by the way, Dak has a no trade, so he'd have to play ball. But Dak is going to be looking for a contract extension this offseason that will make him the highest paid in the league.
And they need to give it to him to get some room.
To give it to him if they want to keep him. And if they don't give it to him, they not only don't create the room, but you can't tag him in a year. He could leave for nothing in a year. And if I am looking over the Cowboys and I say CeeDee Lamb deserves a ton of money, he's going to get it. Yep. Micah Parsons deserves a ton of money, is going to get it. Do I think we are going to be able to essentially have those two superstars and one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league and then tear everything else away or try to reset the quarterback pay scale clock with a top five pick?
It's basically the Niners. Strategy.
Exactly right.
That's the Niners.
Exactly right.
We agree on McCarthy. Got to go. I'm keeping Dak. As bad as he was yesterday, and you know, I don't think he's elite. You clearly can't put the team on his back. That's what happened. He can beat up on the tomato cans as the guy, but they need a run game. Belichick, if he comes, bring back Zeke. I need a little toughness. I need somebody to take some of the pounding away from Tony Pollard. But look, Nick, when you don't have that quarterback, and there's no guarantee you're getting him with the third pick, when you don't have that quarterback, it is tough. Dallas has been there before. I mean, unless they saw something magical from Trey Lance in practice. All right, I can't move on. They spent 20 years trying to get to Dak Prescott.
I'm surprised you haven't brought this up, Brew, because we've run through all your greatest hits. The one thing we haven't touched on is silly franchise. And here's
why. I'm
glad
you brought that up.
Dolphins lost. I didn't hear from the owner of the Dolphins. If the Chiefs somehow would have lost.
Right.
But I don't think we'd hear from the owner of the Chiefs. Rams lost. We didn't hear from Stan Kroenke. Cowboys lose, and there's 1,000 microphones around Jerry Jones. So do you think there's a part of this rebuild or reset, whatever you want to call it, where Jerry Jones looks in the mirror and said, what, maybe it's a little Taylor Swiftie. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe it's me.
Well, you, look, you know I've always said that the culture he has set, I don't believe is conducive to winning big. Now, you can be a good regular season team, maybe win a playoff game or two. You can't win big, I don't believe, with him talking every week. And we saw all the other players. It spills down.
Yes.
They're all talking Super Bowl. Instead of talking Packers, and I didn't jump on them last week, but Dak and Micah, they're talking about Super Bowl.
Correct.
And that stems from Jerry. So I don't think Jerry would look in the mirror and do it himself. But if he does talk to Belichick,
that's
I would hope Belichick would
happen.
Be like, look, no, you got to be respectful with him. But look, I think Jerry, part of the issue is just I don't want you talking every week.
I think, yeah. I think Belichick,
he don't need to say nothing.
Could make it a prerequisite of taking the job. I'm the voice of the franchise while I'm here.
And by the way, I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
I'm going to say,
and that's
going to
reset
the
culture.
But that would.
And it'll make them more
silly. But if they,
you won't be silly under Belichick.
Everyone is assuming Mike McCarthy is going to be fired. I think that's the correct assumption. The next assumption everyone's making is that Bill Belichick is going to want this job. He might, but Belichick...
He can wait, though.
Also, if Belichick agrees with my general premise, which is Dak is a good quarterback who is about to get paid like he is the best, Belichick's whole history says he doesn't believe in that.
No.
Right. At any player at any position, wouldn't even pay Tom Brady like he was the best when he was actually the best because he looks at it very cold and calculated. So I don't know. They're in a very rough spot.
Plus, Philly might be
also,
there.
I kind of got
Buffalo might be there.
Being my Super Bowl
I know,
pick.
It's all right.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a long show. Meanwhile, Jordan Love dealing.
We got time.
Cool, calm, and collected in the pocket as he throws three touchdowns. Here is Matt LaFleur postgame.
Man, Jordan Love, wow. That's about all I can say, Pete, is wow. What he did. And the poise he shows, the command he shows, just so proud and happy for him. He's a dude. He is a real dude.
Okay, completed 76% of his passes, 272 yards, 13 yards a pass, it's first down, 6 20-yard completions, passer rating nearly perfect. It's the best by any quarterback versus the Cowboys. So, Nick, were you surprised by Jordan Love's performance?
I mean, it's surprising that game, obviously. I thought the Cowboys were going to roll, but in the macro, and I needed it, classic two.
When was this a classic two?
What do you, Brew?
I don't remember.
Oh, really?
You guys don't remember? We both picked them to make the playoffs.
No.
I don't remember you singing
that,
his praises.
Far before that, last year, when I was saying, hey, maybe let Jordan Love start at the end of the season. Maybe they would have beaten the Lions. Because here's what I know. That's the best playoff game any Packers quarterback has played in 7 years. Look it up. That's the best. So sorry, Aaron. It's just the facts. And by the way, Jordan Love, where he does deserve credit, and then Brew, you take it. Here's Jordan Love. We can show you the numbers over the last 2 months of the year.
Crushing.
Not only is the team an awesome 21-1 touchdown interception ratio. So shout out to him. I mean, he's been absolutely great.
Well, look, Nick, you're right. From that point to what we've seen to date,
yeah.
I mean, it looks like, oh, their third straight great quarterback is
it
right there
like
already.
It.
All right. And I think everybody was surprised, except maybe Jordan Love, by what he did yesterday. Okay. And we both liked him. That's why we picked him to make the playoffs in the preseason. What I saw from him last year, the growth over the year before, I just thought, okay, this kid has it. I didn't know if he'd be this good, but he has something special. And obviously he showed it yesterday. And I think the other thing, Nick, he shows, and there are exceptions, C.J. Stroud, for example. But some of these teams, and more often than not, they're mistakes by throwing the quarterback right. He's fresh out of college.
Correct.
And you're throwing him right in there to be the starter.
Matt Jones
and expecting
it's
him,
the whole draft
but
class. Yeah.
And expecting
outside
him to, like, carry the team. Again, a Burrow, a Stroud occasionally. But some guys, even Aaron Rodgers.
It's good
and
to
Mahomes,
sit.
Look,
Mahomes
we don't know
sat.
What he would have done
Mahomes
his first year.
Yeah.
But he
no, but
did
still.
Sit.
Yeah.
All right. And so being able to sit, it takes a little of the pressure off, and you can learn what you didn't know in college.
Totally.
And so I think other teams got to – I get the financial reason.
Yep.
But
and
they
got to
look at
take advantage of that window.
They
and if I may, we're going to get more on Jordan Love later in the show, and I know we're going to get to the Chiefs. But I would like – I've reserved banners only for the Chiefs or to mock the Bills. Brew deserves one. Brew was right.
This
Brew
is
was
a
right.
Setup.
Guys, Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Oh, no.
I knew it was a setup.
I told him to put a cowboy logo. I said a cowboy
logo. Where's the real photo?
I said that's a miscommunication.
Where is the real? We spent 45 minutes 2 weeks ago getting the muscle up.
Miscommunication. That was supposed to be the cowboy star.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. Mahomes broke his helmet. Andy Reid had icicles on his mustache, and the Chiefs froze out the Dolphins in Kansas City. 262 yards for Mahomes through the air, had another 40 on the ground. Nick, what is the number one reason our Chiefs brought home the dub?
Is that a serious question?
Yes. Coach Mangini's here.
Hi, Coach. I mean, listen, because they're the damn Chiefs and it's January, and everyone is chill. Chill, listen. And oddly, through much criticism and critique, what the whole world saw was, oh, wait, they built a team perfect for playoff football in the AFC. Cold weather, need to be able to grind out victories. And I know what everyone's going to say. The Dolphins were all injured. Yeah, on defense, but not on offense.
I agree.
On offense, that was the full-strength Miami Dolphins. And aside from one bad pass that turned into a 50-yard touchdown, they got shut down throughout. Oh, it was too cold. Well, what's it going to be like next week in Buffalo or Kansas City? Or the week after in Baltimore or Kansas City? It's going to be cold. And the Chiefs, Coach, and this is where you should love them. They accepted who they were late in the year. They are a ball control. Cut out the mistakes. Kill you with defense. Take the points. And expect our super duper star quarterback to make a couple amazing plays. And then they're hard to beat. Since that Cincinnati game, they've had 17 drives that mattered, not counting kneel downs end of game. Mm-hmm. They've scored 13. On 13 of those drives, they've had three punts and one turnover. And I know, in honor of Eminem being at the Lions game, all 8 Mile this, I know what everyone's going to say. Well, what about the red zone, Nick? The red zone. The red zone where they would have scored 4 red zone touchdowns instead of 2 if not for an egregious block in the back penalty and Patrick Mahomes' helmet being cracked in half so he has to essentially miss a play. The answer is there was never a doubt. And I'm going to be a little understated here.
I agree with you.
I'm going to be a little understated because it's just the wild card round. Like, I don't know, the franchises that make a big deal with the wild card round. I don't, maybe once upon a time, but not in this lifetime for me. So, no, I mean, listen, nobody wants to play
the Lions.
And so they won. The biggest reason they won is because it's the Chiefs in January. So unless you have Tom Brady, you basically have a 1-in-15 chance of beating them.
Like this.
And a 0% chance of beating them in regulation.
Of course, that's what happens. You like it.
Go ahead. That's what happens.
That's what I like.
What? Who wants to play the Chiefs? Nobody.
I do love how they're playing on defense.
Thank you.
1-for-12 on third down. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The pressure, the variation of the pressure.
Yeah. Spags.
The fact that they're willing to run the ball.
Run the ball. There it is.
Physically run the ball. Control the time of possession.
Yeah.
34 minutes. I think that's all fantastic. I think the fact that they were able to perform in cold weather, love the idea that they're actually getting some wide receivers involved in the offense. That's positive,
Jerry?
Too. That's positive, too. They've got superstars at the game and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I would just like their other superstar to play like a superstar on a more consistent basis. Patrick Mahomes.
Give me a break.
When you are, in your mind, the greatest quarterback of all time, which we know it is not true. We know who the greatest quarterback of all time is. You need to perform at that level, especially now in the playoffs. And there were a lot of good things.
You didn't think he was great?
I thought he was okay. My expectation for him, and maybe this is my fault, maybe my expectation for him are higher than yours are. And
who's it? Oh, hold on.
I'd like to see him perform.
No, Nick. Go ahead.
They had four field goals and two touchdowns. Now, it was a good win. I didn't see anything that surprised me, anything that made me say, oh, my, the playoffs have arrived. Now so have the Chiefs. They were playing the fancy-prancy Dolphins.
Okay, it's the playoffs
now. All right, cold weather. The Dolphins can't beat good teams. They showed us that all season long. They can't even score against good teams. All right, so, look, the defense of the Chiefs is great. Mm-hmm. But to get up here and act like, oh, my, they put everybody on notice, everybody's scared. They did the same thing they've been doing all season, except Rashee Rice did catch the ball. But guess who was dropping it? Travis Kelce.
But
they were fine. I think they played pretty much
how
they've
been playing. They won by 19 points against a team
that's 1-6 against
playoff teams. 3 weeks ago was playing for the one seed. Here's the thing, because Wilds keeps throwing out this stat.
What I do?
If you score 21, if you score 21, you beat the Chiefs.
That's
and it's a misleading stat. The more accurate stat is this. The Chiefs are unbeatable when they score 21. And if you guys think, it's so literally unbeatable, and if they don't turn the ball over, separate issue, the one loss they have when they haven't lost the turnover battle, one of the turnovers was a pick six, which is almost like two turnovers in itself.
Yeah.
So there is a level of the Chiefs. The reason you're not seeing more wow plays from Patrick Mahomes and the reason they're struggling in the red zone is because the Chiefs, Patrick, is refusing to take chances there. And I believe there are plays that could be made, thrown into the end zone that he's saying right now, under this context of a playoff game against the Dolphins when they can't score, not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put the ball at risk. If you guys think all of a sudden he's lost the ability to make those plays, when all I heard all year, I need one receiver to step up. Can one of these guys step up? And to which we now yada yada, can we show Rashee Rice? Because Rashee Rice, all of a sudden, I don't know, people talked a lot about this Tyreek Hill trade. Forget the fact we got Trent McDuffie. Here's their playoff production the last 2 years. Keep in mind, last year, Rashee Rice was playing in college football. So Rashee Rice has been as productive as Tyreek the last 2 years just yesterday. So you have Isaiah Pacheco is a good running back. Travis Kelce, who even at aging, had 70 yards in a game where he had three drops. Yep. Rashee Rice, who was excellent. Mahomes, who made no mistakes. And best defense left
touchdowns.
In the football.
And against a defense that wasn't great to begin with.
19,
and then was banged up.
A depleted and demoralized team that's coming in. Playing in ridiculously.
So, we're just trying to bring you down.
Because
they don't look that much better to me than they looked in the regular season.
Okay, so then here's my question. But this is what I've been trying to convince you guys to do all year, is judge this Chiefs team against this year, not against history. Because had they won this game 35-27, I bet you guys would be sounding very differently. But that would be more concerning. That would be a closer win where the defense got pushed around. They won by 19 points.
But I would be
points.
Excited like you're excited if they had won 35-7.
Right.
Scored
a few more touchdowns.
That then would be,
one of the coldest games in
history. They're used to playing.
Let's talk about it. Just real quick, if I may. So one touchdown called off the board for a block in the back that
those don't matter because they don't count.
I'm asking Coach a question. Coach said if they had won 35-7, he'd feel better about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that block in the back is not called. It's 30-7. You think there's a fundamental difference in how the Chiefs played if that call gets made or not? Because I don't. I don't. I think it's the exact same game. And so, no, I don't.
Baltimore just beat Miami by how many points? 56-19 in hot weather where Miami likes to play?
In hot weather. But were the Chiefs not playing in the same weather?
No, they were just playing in cold weather.
Chiefs I'm saying it's the same weather as Miami.
It's okay. The Chiefs control the
but we know Miami can't
play in 19 points in a playoff.
I'm just saying, you're going a little far.
Tua almost throws for 200 yards, just looked off and uncomfortable the entire game. The once mighty Dolphins offense stalls yet again. Here's Tua postgame.
I don't feel any pressure at all. I have full trust in myself. I have full trust in what I'm capable of doing for our organization. But outside of that, we're focusing on tonight and what happened. You know, we're going to simmer on this and see what we can do to get better from it going into next year.
Okay. Are you disappointed in Tua?
No. You're not disappointed when it's what you expect. Listen, he is who he is. This is why eye tests exist.
led the league in passer rating. Should he be the MVP or led the league in passing yards? Don't care. Listen, I don't want to be harsh, but he is undersized, doesn't have a very strong arm, and has never played well in the biggest spots. It's just who he is. And now you're up against a great defense with a great defensive coordinator, and it just continues the trend, and we can show you his history. Every biggest game of his career, he's been bad. Week 17 to make the playoffs, bad. Week 17 the next year, had to win that week and the next week to make the playoffs, bad. Week 17 this year to be the one seed, awful. Week 18 this year to win the division and be able to play in balmy weather, which evidently is a prerequisite for an NFL team, unbelievable, bad. And last night, terrible. The one big play they made was a bad throw. And so I understand what all the numbers say, and I understand that Dolphins fans try to be like, oh my God, his eye discipline. He tricks. Guys, we watch the games. This is a team that will not be able to reach the next level with a quarterback of this level. And that's just what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you look at the last three games, he played the 3 seed, the 2 seed, the 1 seed. Going back in those 3 games, he's got, I think it's 4 interceptions and 5 picks, or 4 touchdowns, 5 picks. His quarterback rating was like a 62, a 64, and a 72, which is 30 points below his season average. And it's just so disappointing to see that at the end of the season when they should have had the division locked up, and then they limp into the playoffs, and then he has a performance that he does. It makes it hard to think he's the long-term answer.
Yikes. Correct. Brew, look at this graphic, a head-to-head Dolphins against the Chiefs. Chiefs and Pacheco was just out there churning, pushing the Dolphins around. Third down, the Dolphins weren't tough enough. 1 for 12 on third down. Big plays. Usually you see something from the Dolphins there, but even then, the Chiefs dominated. So were you surprised the Dolphins didn't put up a fight?
You really asked me that
question? I did.
Question?
I just, because I have no idea. Because usually you expect a big fight in the playoffs. Were you surprised the Dolphins
I've been
didn't?
Telling y'all all season. They're electric. Mm. All right? Boogie. They're glitzy. They do all that. Mm. But when it's time to fight, when it's time to knuckle up, what do they want to do? What? They want to break dance. All right? And I've seen a lot of break dancing in my day. But never in -4 degree weather with a 25 below wind chill.
These guys are bad.
All right? And this stuff, well, this is cute. This is dope.
New break dancing.
We got new ones. Yeah, but they're about to get down. This is the Dolphins. And this looks great in November. This looks great in Miami when it's 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. You put the cardboard down and all that. Yeah. This looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. But what if somebody's tackling them? What if it gets cold outside? What if somebody's trying to run them over? You think they're moving like that?
No,
they're not. And that is the Dolphins. And I'm telling you, the offseason, they got to get stronger. They got to get tougher. They got to get a defense that will stop somebody. Because this, as wonderful as it is, and it's great to boogie, sometimes you just got to knuckle up.
Yeah.
And they can't do it.
Thanks.
Coach announced.
Excellent job.
Thank you. Dolphins. 1-6 against playoff teams. So that's that. Coming up next, Texans, best team in Texas. C.J. Stroud has arrived emphatically, throws 3 touchdowns for the Texans, and Flacco adds 2 of his own as Houston rolls the Browns. Here's C.J. postgame.
I think everybody counting us out. And at the end of the day, like I told y'all before, like, people can talk. That's all they can do. You know, they can just talk and watch. We were the ones out there to play. We're the other ones making plays. And it's cool just to see, you know, just – like we at Ohio State, we used to call it Woody versus the world. Like here, I think we used to call it like NRG versus the world, you know, or Houston versus the world.
Okay, put this performance into perspective.
Well, listen, I think he cemented the best rookie quarterback season ever. And I coach. Whenever I say anything ever, you do that face. But
if
as
you
far
look
as
back, coach,
but coach, but I didn't say point. I didn't. I'm not projecting anything forward. I'm saying as far as. Best rookie quarterback season ever. All the records were held by Herbert. he on a per-game basis broke some of those, and they obviously made the playoffs. Herbert didn't. RG3 had a great rookie year. It's kind of marred by the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck had a good rookie year. Cam did. Russell Wilson had an underrated rookie year. He was better than all of them, and now this playoff game cemented. And if I may just quickly, listen, I used to live in Houston. I used to cover this team. I'm really happy for the people of Houston because they were a punchline. The team was run for a few years by a poor man's Joel Osteen. They had one-and-done coach, and now they made a move this offseason that I criticized. I'm like, you traded your future first to get Will Anderson? Like, you couldn't even trade the Browns first instead because your first is going to be amazing. Now their first is actually the worst pick of the two because they beat them. They've got a great coach in D'Amico, I believe a future star, in fact, already star quarterback, who just had the best rookie season we've ever seen. So that's what I saw this weekend against the league's statistically best defense.
Yeah, look, I really liked what he's done, and I was skeptical of him coming in. Ohio State quarterbacks haven't been very good in pro football. He's taken an organization that struggled and brought him to where he's brought him to. I think all those things are amazing. I would argue Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season.
How did that end, Coach?
It ended in the AFC Championship against us, but it would end if these
guys.
That's
fine, but how did he do in that game?
He was 13-0 that year. 13-0 got the team to the AFC Championship game. So
yes, if and how did the he same thing, play in the AFC Championship game, Coach?
He was playing us.
And what did he do? Just tell everyone what he did.
He got smoked.
He threw three picks and got smoked. This kid was amazing.
Well, this is the AFC Championship game, and he's not playing the Patriots.
But the Texans are not the Steelers. Go ahead.
I would go with CJ. I agree with Nick, Coach. Dan Marino threw 20 touchdowns in 9 games as a rookie, but they got beat in the playoffs. He threw 2 interceptions in that game. But here's the other thing about CJ. Mm-hmm. He did it. Now, Nico Collins has emerged, but Nico Collins hadn't done much CJ. Tank Dell looks like he could be good, and he's hurt now. The offensive line was kind of guys in and out with injuries. Like, he doesn't have a 1,000-yard rusher, even though Singletary's good, but, you know, he doesn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. So he did it with he literally went to a bad franchise and made players better. Yep. Even Joe Burrow, who was in his second year when he took him to the Super Bowl, he had Ja'Marr Chase and some top-notch talent at the skill positions. This guy didn't.
He's scary, man. The Chiefs might play him next. He's scary.
No, they're scary now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's scary.
Also got me back on upset alert.
Oh, yeah.
The reluctant upset
alert. You didn't believe.
The most reluctant upset alert.
Coming up tomorrow, a very, very slippery mountain. Some people down in Mac Jones territory now. Sorry, everybody. Jerry Jones hasn't been to the Super Bowl since 1995. I was in high school. Nick was sleeping in a bassinet. And Broussard was an established career writer for the Journal.
That's pretty true.
It's been a long time, moral of the story, and changes might be on the way. So, Coach, combo platter of questions. 1, should Mike McCarthy go? 2, would Bill Belichick work?
Okay, so on the first point, I said on Friday, if you lose this game where you're 16-0 at home, you're playing the 7th seed, it's a bunch of young kids, you're playing that well, then you got to start looking for real estate or a real estate broker. And that's the situation I think Mike McCarthy's in. Yeah. And Jerry says he hasn't thought about it one bit. He's thought about it a lot, and I'm sure something's going to happen here soon. But is it fair to say that you have the right quarterback? Is it fair to say that you've got the right running game? Is it fair to say that you've got the right personnel? The only thing that's been constant there is the owner. And coaches have come and gone, and that's been the one constant when they haven't been able to make these pushes and you have these giant expectations. So now if you assume your personnel's great, which you know I'm imagining that's the assumption, is that our personnel underachieved, and you go get Bill, it's how long is the fit going to take? Because Bill runs a radically different defense than what Dan Quinn runs. He runs a very different offense than what's in place there now. And Dak Prescott did perform at a high level during the regular season in this offense. So are you willing to bring Bill in, have him change the nuts and bolts of what they're doing, and deal with whatever happens with that transition? Or are you expecting him to come in and keep a bunch of coaches and not have his ability to
seems like a no.
to operate.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be a no from. I would imagine be a no from Bill. I'd imagine Josh McDaniels would go with Bill, and that would be the offense that you'd get. But it'd be different.
How you think Josh would be with Dak?
I think Josh is a very good offensive coordinator. I think the system is extremely good, but it does take some time. And if you're not used to being in that system, there are some growing pains that go along with it. So is the owner, does he have the appetite or the ability to deal with those growing pains? Mm.
Yeah, look, I said it earlier. I think their culture, Coach, from Jerry Jones down is bad. I don't think it's conducive to winning big. We talked all season about Micah's talking about the Super Bowl, Dak's talking about the Super Bowl. I didn't hear much talk about the Packers going into this game. I heard talk about getting further in the playoffs and all of that. And I think that stems from Jerry. So I think I would like to see Belichick go there. I mean, Philadelphia, if they lose, may be another option. But look, you got the quarterback, and I agree. It almost a part of you is like, man, if they could keep McCarthy as an OC, because he did a good job with Dak, which I know that's impossible. But I'm just saying, I don't really want to reset Dak in the regular season like Belichick would. But I think their defense is a problem because they get run on. That's why Arizona beat them, because they could run the football. And so I think Belichick would fix that. I think they become a more serious organization. Hopefully, if it were to happen, he could get Jerry to just, you know, stop talking all the time and every week on the radio and after every game. And I don't know I don't think Bill, and you know him better than I do, obviously, but I don't think he would have to pick the groceries, as they say. I think when you go to a different organization, you're willing to, you know, just coach maybe. It would have been different in New England, but I think in Dallas he might just coach.
It's the one GM that's powerful enough to be over him because it's the owner, so there's that. And if you go there, with the understanding that he's going to have ultimate say over personnel. He's going to have ultimate say over who's on the 53. It's just hard for me to imagine Bill, who's picked the groceries for 24 years, is suddenly going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm good.
Listen, they are going to move on from Mike McCarthy. The question is, who is the best option for them? And because of Jerry's age, I don't think Belichick's age is a downside.
He's only going to do three, four years.
Different owners might be like, I want this guy to be able to coach for the next 10 years. Jerry's trying to win right now. The other option is see if you can get Mike Vrabel and see if he brings Arthur Smith with him. Arthur Smith was his OC in Tennessee, got the most out of Tannehill. But whatever it is a total coaching overhaul coming in Dallas. That I'm very confident.
Vrabel, yeah. If he's got an offensive coordinator, then
12 games is a lot of games.
Live from New York.
It's a show that might keep Mike McCarthy now that I think about it. I'm not the ultimate decision maker. It's the second hour of First Things First today. What does the future hold for Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott? Meanwhile, Lions win and will play another home game. Is Nick Wright ready to believe in Jared Goff?
Like,
that
this
guy
show's
right
been
there.
Huge Lions believers. Like, I'm the only
one. Like, I believed in the Lions.
Ever since I heard about his coffee order.
After the first game of the season, I was on board.
They beat the Chiefs.
Week one Super Bowl rematch, maybe.
Playoff Mahomes is back. Kelsey's back. Chiefs win by 19. I was impressed. Broussard was nonplussed, and Coach wanted him to win by 35 points in negative 20 degrees.
Yeah,
Kansas City's defense holds the Dolphins' offense to 7 points, but I guess you guys wanted a shutout. Nick, do you want to answer this?
Yes, I want to answer this.
Are the defending champions officially the scariest team?
If we're being honest, all you have to do to know is go on YouTube later today, America, and go watch our first Chiefs segment.
Okay.
Where these two guys took a 19-point playoff victory over a double-digit win team that was being discussed all year until 2 weeks ago as a top-tier contender in the general national media.
Not on this side of the table.
That's fine. Where they never trailed for a second, where they controlled every segment of the game, and they were like, you know, not enough style points for me. For a playoff victory.
That's exactly what I said.
I 26-7 is nice, but I really needed 35-7 to buy in. Here's a question for the table. Do the Chiefs have an argument that of the 10 teams left in the postseason, or 8 teams, how many teams are left? 10 are left as of right now, that they have the best defense? Do they have an argument? It's them or Baltimore. They finished the league 1-2 and everything.
Baltimore was historically good.
Baltimore finished 2 yards and 0.1 points better. So, I mean, fine. Do the Chiefs have a top two defense left in the playoffs? Everyone agree? Sure. Do the Chiefs have the best quarterback in the playoffs? Of course. Do the Chiefs have the best coach left in the playoffs? Of course. Who's the best coach in the playoffs, Wild?
Shanahan's pretty good. Shanahan's so good, his quarterback can't even be the MVP.
Harbaugh's team's always
alive. Who's the best coach in the playoffs? Who's the best coach left?
I mean, maybe Andy Reid. There's like this chasm.
I'm not talking about
Harbaugh's a really good coach.
Agreed. He's really good. I'm asking the table a question. Who is the best quarterback left in the playoffs? Does anyone think it's someone other than Patrick Mahomes? If not, okay.
We like Mahomes, but the guy is, the MVP is
and
sitting
Mahomes,
there.
It's not an outrageous here's take. The thing, we all like Mahomes. Guys, Lamar's winning the MVP
this year.
That's
fine, right.
It's not an outrageous take.
He has not been the best.
He's the MVP.
Nick. Mahomes has not been the best quarterback this year.
Okay, that's great.
And he hasn't been the best quarterback playoff
so
game.
Then just answer. So then say you don't agree with it. Here's why I'm frustrated. I'm asking questions, allowing you guys to say, no, I think someone else. You won't say it, and then you're arguing with me. So I
because
will try.
To me, that's not the argument. They got the best coach, best quarterback. That means they're going to win it?
That can be your argument. I'm going to phrase mine, and I'm going to ask one more time. Right now. Does anyone think there is a quarterback in the playoffs better than Patrick Mahomes? If so, say his name. Okay, we all agree.
This year, Lamar Jackson's been better.
That's not the question I'm asking. Is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback?
I don't want to talk about history.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, seriously.
That's great. So they have the best coach, they have the best quarterback, they might have the best defense, and they just won a playoff game by 19 points that people were not impressed by because they don't think that's actually them at their best. If that game was not them at their best, then yes, they're the scariest team. So, yeah, I mean, I think they are who everyone wants to play the least.
Look, I do agree they have the best quarterback. I do agree they have the best head coach. And it wasn't a function of style points. For me, it was a function of they're playing a team that's dramatically depleted, that is coming off a demoralizing loss, that has struggled in the last month and gave away the division. And I expected more. And I expect more from the Chiefs. Because they have the best quarterback and because they have the best head coach, who's an offensive-minded head coach. And here's my problem. My problem is in the red zone. And I know we're not allowed to talk about the red zone.
No, you can talk about whatever you want.
But let's just take a look at where they were. Okay, so this is where they've been over the last month. They're 5-14, which gives them 35.7.
That's kind of an
issue. That would rank them 31st, just barely above the New York Jets. This is over the last 5 weeks, okay, or 4 weeks. There we go. Now let's look at their Super Bowl years, okay? In the 2019 postseason, they were 80% in the red zone, tied for third. 2022, they were 81.8%. So I'm not saying that they don't have the best and they don't have the best. I'm saying that the best is disappointing right now in the key component of being, a very key component in being successful of making a long playoff run or winning the Super Bowl. As witnessed by what they did in the past.
Pretty good. I'm going to throw the towel in as a Chiefs fan there.
Go ahead.
That, I agree with that, Coach. And look, they are respected. There's nobody is writing the Chiefs off. Nobody's taking them lightly. Nobody's saying, oh, they're not the same Chiefs. This will be easy. They're respected. But scarier than Baltimore, who has a quarterback that's unique. He's one of one. Not as good as Mahomes, but he's one of one. That and their defense is historically great, and their run game is crazy. Like, you talk about being built for January. They are, and they got a coach that's won a Super Bowl, even if he might not be quite as good as Andy Reid. San Francisco, I think those two teams are definitely scary. So, Detroit is better than it was in week one when they beat Kansas City.
So,
and I don't think – all I'm saying about yesterday – is I didn't see anything from the Chiefs that made me think they'd flip the switch and now Rasheed Rice was good, but then Kelsey's dropping
passes. But did it? But well, so two. One thing about yesterday, and one thing about Baltimore. Yesterday did not give you further confidence that this defense is not good, is not pretty good, is great.
No, because Miami does not score against the good teams.
How many
Miami averaged 16 points.
How many did they score?
They scored 7.
Okay.
But they averaged 16 points when they play the top teams in the league.
So that sounds like even...
It was no, because the weather was freezing, so you know the score is going to go down for a team. We know Tua's not good in cold weather.
The weather is an inspiration for Miami's
depleted.
Offense not being good, but not for the Chiefs' red zone.
The Chiefs are used to playing in that weather.
I get it. Here's the next question I have, and just curious. You said Baltimore. Yeah. Houston is, we don't know who they're going to play. Houston could be playing.
They're scary
either.
Too.
No, that's not the question. Because it depends on if Buffalo, who do you think right now Houston's rooting for in the game that starts in a half hour? Because if Buffalo wins, Houston goes to Baltimore. If Pittsburgh wins, Houston goes to Kansas City. Who do you think?
You want an honest answer? Yeah, I don't think Houston cares. I think they're so young that they like, man, bring on whoever. They might want the champs. I mean, seriously, that's how I think CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans are cut out of the cloth. Where bring us the champs.
Who do
we'll
you think
there?
They'd have a better chance against?
I mean, Baltimore stomped them early in the season. That was early League in the one, season, right? But still. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs are the scariest team. I think San Francisco, Baltimore are scary. Detroit might be a scary. I think Buffalo, let's see what they do today. They might be scarier.
Mm, okay.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Cowboys are going home. Again, Dak's playoff career record now 2-5. For context, C.J. Stroud just started and he's 1-0. Here's Dak postgame.
Yeah, we got beat. There's no other which way around it, no way to sugarcoat it. Obviously, I didn't play well, and shock. I'm not a guy that lives in the past, and so where my feet are, and at this moment, yeah, I mean, I sucked tonight. No, that was it.
Okay, contract on the horizon. Did yesterday change your view of Dak?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I mean, this is where sports can be unfair, Coach. Now his great regular season works against him. When you were, in my opinion, should have been a coin flip for MVP, and then were that bad in that game. And those numbers, I do not care what they are.
No.
Those are nonsense. Like, there were four times in the first half Dak had an opportunity to either, you know, get him back into the game, keep the game close, and each time made a critical error or mistake, including the drive they scored on that he threw short of the end zone when they had no timeouts and clock was going to run out, and got very fortunate there was a flag on that, or else that's a gaffe at the end. And so here is the thing. We have seen teams with bad quarterbacks win a Super Bowl. We have. We have seen teams with great quarterbacks win a Super Bowl. We have seen teams with young quarterbacks win a Super Bowl. We have seen teams with mediocre quarterbacks win a Super Bowl. The one thing we've never seen in the salary cap era is a team with an average quarterback who is paid like a superstar win a Super Bowl. Never seen it. When Joe Flacco won his Super Bowl, he hadn't gotten paid yet. Remember his contract year. We can go up and down the list. And Dak right now is paid like a great quarterback and is about to get paid like the best quarterback. That would terrify me if I were a Cowboys fan. So, yeah, to me, it changes how I view Dak. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I believed in them. I thought this year was different. And then instead they had their worst performance of the season.
It hasn't changed my view because I've had this view of Dak for a long time. And I think Dak is best when he's supported by a really good running game and when he doesn't have to go win the game by himself. Yeah. And he's 2-5 in the playoffs. His QB rating is almost 10% lower in the playoffs than it is in the regular season. And to me, to whom much is given, much is expected. And when you're going to pay someone like a frontline guy, they've got to not only perform like a frontline guy, but they've got to be able to raise up everybody around them. And when you play a game like they played yesterday where the defense isn't doing well, you would expect that quarterback to then be able to help you win in a shootout, figure out some way to pull you out of it. But instead, he throws the pick that sets up a touchdown. He throws another pick that leads to a touchdown. He exasperated the problem. And when you can't improve the team because of how much money you're paying that player, it becomes such a drag on your ability to compete year in and year out to be a champion.
You guys know I'm with Coach because I've been saying all season. In fact, early in the year, I got mocked by one Nick Wright and Greg Jennings.
That is unfortunate.
For saying that Dak Prescott was not elite.
No.
Now, he looked elite in the regular season.
Can you say what we mocked you for, just to be clear?
I said the only way, Coach, like he'll be viewed as elite is if he becomes part of a dynasty.
Yeah. He said even if he won
some
MVP, coach, would
some
be
players
elite.
Who aren't yeah. like Eli Manning, right. I mean, he'll probably be a
was unfair
him.
Mocking okay. by Nick.
Yes,
he wouldn't be the
absolutely.
First time. He doesn't lie.
and look, you just call, I don't know if you realize this, you just called Dak an average quarterback. I don't think he's average. I think he's clearly above average, but I agree, like he needs a run game. I've always viewed him as a game manager who can make big plays with his arms and his legs. Like, he's not a typical pedestrian game manager, but he is a manager, And this year they didn't have the run game. And that's why when they played tomato cans, that could look like, oh, I got the team on my back. But when they played the good teams and they went 3-5 against playoff teams and they needed him to carry them on his back because they don't have the run game anymore, he couldn't do it. Now, you guys, I don't think you're going here. All that said, they got to bring him back because they went a long time without a top flight, like a even above average quarterback. And I look, life is hard when you are searching for that quarterback. They've got – I think you can win a championship with Dak. If you're good enough around
him. I no longer do, not at this salary.
I don't know.
You what, Wilds?
Well, it's like it's a little bit like I can run a marathon. Like, well, you haven't. It's like I could. But,
no,
like,
that's
but
fair.
You haven't in a long time.
Well, it's
you've
worse than that. It's
we've given you a few chances and you keep on dropping out of the race, Wilds,
yeah.
drinking water on the side. Like, but I could have. Give me one more year.
Hey, guys, sorry.
That's
just
fair.
For our producers, mark that. That's the third time since Wilds signed up for his half marathon. He's somehow wedged marathon running.
Well,
into
just like,
the
we
show.
Gotta stop saying
we're just
he
making
can do
a compilation of all the analogies he could pull.
He can't. He
can't lead a team or be on a Super Bowl team.
Well, when the guy leads
he
a team
lead.
To the Super Bowl, we say that guy can lead him. When the guy doesn't, we have to say he can't.
Especially in a
he can't
a
lead you,
like
but
the,
he can be a
right,
part of it.
But
well, so
is,
could I.
But if he's 25% of your salary cap, he has to lead you. Like, that's the – so let me – can I throw
yeah,
a fake trade
sure.
and tell me that just this fake trade generator, who says no or do both say yes? Let's say Belichick doesn't go to Dallas, that they get Vrabel, whomever. The third pick of the draft – goes to the Cowboys. Dak Prescott goes to the Patriots.
Why?
For whom?
For either one. Why would
well,
the Patriots?
I don't think
trade
the Patriots because they want stability. They want a real quarterback. They have the money because they have no good players. So the good part of having no good players is you can pay your quarterback a lot while you're trying to build something up new. And for the Cowboys, you have so many frontline players that you want to be able to keep that you go with the rookie quarterback.
But if you're New England or any team in that position, ideally you go get the quarterback of the future and you have him for those 5 years. You'll have to redo the contract, yeah. but at least 4 years at an extremely discounted rate, which allows you to build everything else up around them. So now if you go get Dak and you give away
right.
that 5 year of cheap service to now pay a ridiculously high rate, I don't know if he goes there and I don't think he goes there and he's transformative for the organization.
Okay, so it feels like that's the answer. He's just not a transformative player.
No.
Mahomes is.
The great ones change the organization. And that's my concern with Justin Herbert, is he hasn't really changed that organization.
Justin Herbert catching a stray. He hasn't played in 6 weeks.
It was a stray, but when we talk about the great quarterbacks, we usually put him in that bucket.
Yeah.
And you want to see him change the organization because typically, regardless of coaching, regardless
sure.
of ownership, the great ones
yeah.
make the organization great.
Yes, okay.
Coming up next.
Why is this on me?
Because you always call him Mr. Tiny Hands.
Because he does have tiny hands. That's why you had to do the two-hand chest pass yesterday.
With your chest out, with your feet down, you pick
the Rams.
The Rams
did cover.
Yeah.
They did cover.
Welcome back to an electric show. For the first time in 32 years, the Lions have won a playoff game. Goff goes 22 for 27. Lions also scored two on the ground, and Dan Campbell was fired up. Take a listen.
That is arguably the best environment I've ever been in. That was absolutely electric. And I think what's crazy is I was coming down for pregame warm-up, and you could just feel it. It was humming. The building was humming. And I swear you could feel the electricity down the tunnel from where I was coming down. And it only just grew from there.
I just love him. I absolutely love him. Do you believe in the Lions? It's a Cinderella story.
I mean, kind of. Right now, I think the biggest winners of the weekend were probably the Niners, as far as the path clearing in the conference. And so
they were frightened of Dallas.
I think the Rams were, because of the division, because they beat them in the playoffs four,
yeah.
them seeing Dallas and the Rams go down, I think was their ideal weekend for them. I want to give the Lions credit on a couple fronts. One is, I was curious to see Dan Campbell, the most aggressive, for some reason, because of the way Dan Campbell looks, when he does this stuff, they call it aggression as opposed to listening to the analytics.
That's right.
But it's just he's following the analytics,
right.
And some coaches lose their medal come the playoffs.
Yeah.
He went for that fourth down early in the game. Yeah. They got it, scored a touchdown. Meanwhile, Sean McVay, who I was saying going into the game had the coaching edge, once again just threw away these timeouts. Coaches, in the second half of close games, particularly playoff games, a five-yard penalty is not nearly as bad as blowing your timeout. And so, and Sean McVay did it twice, and at the end of the half, it wasn't great. So I give the Lions massive credit. And, Coach, the thing with this, with Goff, is so interesting. If you pressure him, he will literally turn the wrong way and do a two-hand chest pass towards the out of bounds because he won't know what to do. If you do, look at this. If you don't pressure him, he is out there cooking fools. And to be 21 of 21 with no pressure is remarkable. And now they get to stay at home. And so I believe in them? They should make the conference championship game. I mean, that's where they're at. They hope they don't run into Bake Show, which they probably will. Bake but, show. Yeah.
They not Bake thinking show. About Bake Show, believe me. This is why I was so aggravated in a segment or two ago. Who had the best quarterback in this game?
The Rams.
Yeah. Who had the best coach?
The Rams.
And they lost.
Yeah, but they
so
didn't
that's
have
my
the
point.
Best
like that doesn't
league.
Mean
they
you're just going to win.
It was scary. And the question was scary, Brew. Not no, the best in the Chiefs.
I think Detroit is impressive. They've impressed me because first of all, yesterday was huge. We all know it was the first playoff win since '93, and I get it. It's new players, new regime, all that. But all that constant noise can get to you. And more so, I thought it was just important for this team because they proved that like we're there. We beat a championship coach and a championship quarterback, and then coach their defense to me is what's impressive. Like we know that's been their weak link, but it has gotten more impressive over the last like 8 weeks. The Rams had averaged 28 points a game. Mm-hmm. They played great against them. And this is the Rams put 31 on the Ravens.
Yeah.
And Detroit played them good defensively. We know what they did to Dallas in Dallas, holding them to 20. So their defensive improvement to go with that offense, which is well-balanced run pass, I think they're strong.
Yeah, I didn't like it when the NFL put them in the opening game, a team that hadn't made the playoffs. They kind of anointed them based off of how they finished last season. But yet the narrative continues, the story continues. They win the playoff game. Dallas loses. They get another playoff game. They've made some poor decisions that they've survived, like Sam Laporta getting hurt, but still being able to play this game. So sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And they've got an element of that, too. And that happened to us in our first Super Bowl where things kind of broke our way a lot of times. And it feels a little bit like that as well. And that's not taking anything away from the way that they've played, but they've also got – some of this other sort
Super
of
Bowl?
The football gods.
Potential right. Game one rematch?
Shining
first game, last game of the year?
They've
Lions,
the best,
Chiefs?
Best vibes.
Revenge
though.
Spot?
Best, the vibes. The vibes in that locker room?
The vibes are good.
Vibes.
Vibes are good.
Oh, look
Big
at this.
Joe, speaking
oh,
of being nervous.
Nervous. He is nervous.
Have you watched the Dan Campbell?
Medals time. We're early in Pistons Rockets. Pistons inbound the ball to themselves and then step out of bounds.
Yeah,
we're not allowed to do that.
Come
I mean,
on,
what are we?
Come on, guys.
We'll go also a travel.
Yeah, we'll go straight what to the podium because we're short on time. Jokic gets the bronze for Friday. SGA gets the silver for Saturday. And Dame, for the game winner, he gets the gold. There's the podium from
okay,
this
1 minute left in show. Yeah. Steelers-Bills about to kick off. Eagles-Bucks after that. Eagles still favored. Odd question here. Who has more on the line tonight? Sirianni, The Bake Show, or Chris Broussard?
Well,
you have a presence.
I was going to say Sirianni, but Jay Glazer says even with a loss, he's safe.
Okay.
And you guys remember from before the year when Brew was talking Kyle Trask, and I said that the Bucks could win the division, and then Brew tried to sell some bill of goods about it. Even if they win the division, they won't do anything. He said if Bake Show wins a playoff game, he'll wear his jersey on the
Did
show.
Did I say that?
Yeah, oh, I want to say Bake
see
Show on
so,
that so bad.
So I have to see
so,
footage
so
of
Brew,
that.
So America, when the Bucks beat Brew's Super Bowl winner pick, keep in mind tomorrow, buddy. Bake I got show. That.
I'm gonna be honest. First
for
of all,
you.
This is nice.
Yeah, I got.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah,
I feel better about the Eagles.
Oh, he's
going
to be
past
back.
Few weeks. I mean, if the Eagles aren't bolstered by what they saw last yesterday,
we'll see you tomorrow at 3.